The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Morning, 11 minutes after 8, Dr. Dennis Powers, where past meets present, DennisPowersBooks.com. And by the way, where past meets present, available on HellgatePress.com, great local publisher. I'm going to interview that publisher sometime, Doc, because I think Hellgate Press is very important here for Southwest Oregon, the ability to get some of these books out there to folks need to see that.
Oh, that will be a great interview because it goes all the way back, you know, like 30 years ago when he purchased what he has greatly expanded, you know, here from a Grants Pass owner. And he is a very good, capable person, military books, good books that reflect on this region. That'd be a great interview.
I'm looking forward to it. And thank you very much for people who have put me on his path, okay? Let us first go where past meets present today. So we're going to go way back to the past, way back to the past. And this is about, well, I guess, how far do we have to go back to the Sam's Valley meteorite story, Dr. Powers? What do you say?
Well, I guess it'd be 4.5 billion years ago.
Yeah. Because, well, I guess that may be when it fell to Earth, but that's not when it was discovered, right?
Well, that's true. And you see, meteorites are pieces of rock that fall to the Earth from space, and most are from the breakup of smaller asteroids that never formed a planet. And what's interesting here is that in the definition, a meteorite is one that we find on Earth, which is very rare, and they're very, very expensive. But meteors are the ones, and that's the flash of light, my friend, that we see when a small chunk of debris burns completely up in our atmosphere. Then if any part of that debris lands on Earth, it's called a meteorite.
Yeah, a meteorite is when it hits the ground, essentially, right? Then whatever's left.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
and,
that's a good one.
And then how many meteorites have been found that we're aware of here in Southwest Oregon since the state was formed?
Probably less than, well, 15 in terms of all of Oregon. But what's interesting is that the largest one ever found in the United States was found actually in 1902, and it weighed at 15.5 tons.
Whoa!
That
had to be a pretty big meteorite. That was up in Willamette Valley, from what I recall, right?
And what happened there, Bill, that struck my interest is the fact that it really first came down over southern Canada, but a glacier that was moving down to the Willamette Valley at the end of the Ice Age, some 13,000 years ago, brought it from Canada all the way into the Willamette Valley.
So the glacier dragged the 15-ton meteorite down to Oregon.
Yeah.
So it actually happened up north. Okay, interesting. Well, you know, at 15.5 tons, that would have had to have caused disturbance when it came flying down and thumped into the planet, wouldn't it? Would it not have caused a problem?
You would certainly think so, especially given the fact that when you go back to that same time, you had this huge one that crashed off of the Yucatan in Mexico. That is a very, very deep one, where they have been able to find off to the sides various oil and gas pools. Plus also the fact, I think it was in Arizona, there's one that's a huge meteor crater, a meteorite crater. But what it really stands out also is that the oldest discovery here is what they call the Sam's Valley meteorite, which was found, Bill, over 130 years ago. And then there's also the John Evans meteorite that even goes past then, which he, about 175 years ago, and people have been trying to find it ever since, said it was about 11 tons.
Did he get lost, or was it lost somehow?
Yeah, he found it. He sent in samples. They said, hey, tell us where it is. He said, oh, man, it's a long way out there. I kind of forgot. And he just said it was 40 miles east on a bald mountain, east of what's now Port Orford. And he then died before they could ever find that meteorite.
Oh, that's too bad.
But in terms of the Sam's Valley ones, it was this, the 15-pound space rock, Bill, was found actually in the 1890s. But the guy that found it, he was found at the mouth of Sam's Creek in the canyon. But he didn't know what it was, so he used it as a doorstop.
Gotta love some. I love stories like that, right? I love it.
I did too, because when he died, his son said, "Wait a minute, there must be some money in this." So he sold pieces off to different museums, including a 2-pound one to Harvard University and about a 2.5-pound one to, again, the American Museum of Natural History, which has that also on display with other ones that they accumulated over the years. Where it comes even further, Bill, to us is that a 2-pound rock, which they felt was one of the six that was part of the Sam's Valley meteorite, which was a large one, it was actually discovered in a box of rocks in the Southern Oregon Historical Society Storage Museum. And I actually held that one when I went through with one other, a personalized tour, you know, because of all the work I've done with the Southern Oregon Historical Society.
In other words, you're a man who knows stuff. So they brought you into the sacred one. So you got a chance to look at these other ones. Is that where these rocks are right now, or have they been placed in other museum display?
Well,
or
they've been placed in other displays.
Mm-hmm.
But the key thing is that there's others, because meteorite finds have also been found in Klamath Falls. And how do you like this one? In Salem, there was debris of a meteorite that hit a Salem home in 1981. And I'm just kind of thinking, you know, here we are talking, or here we are having a cup of coffee, and bam, bam, bam. And you look up there, and your roof's full of holes.
Yeah.
And there's a little fire in your living room.
Well, now the 15-pound one must have made, that was found in Sam's Valley when it came down at that time. It must have caused, you know, 15 pounds going several thousand miles per hour is a big deal, though. When it comes down, right?
It is.
A lot of energy.
It is, but you see that it could have happened fairly away from there.
Oh.
And then the drainage that you see would then bring it down to where the mouth of Sam's Creek is with the canyon.
Oh, so it could be that same sort of thing like what you were talking about with the meteorite in West Lynn that was brought down by the glacier. It could be a similar a reason why the Sam's Valley meteorite was found where it was.
And,
okay.
And my friend, this was not climate change. This is what happens here for millenniums in Mother Nature and with Mother Nature. And there's these gigantic changes that happen over tens of thousands of years.
And the one thing I would remind millennials is that, and maybe even some Gen Zs that are into this agenda, is that the Earth tends to do much better when it's a little bit warmer than when it's a little bit colder. That's just
the fact of the matter. The diatribe and propaganda about CO2, about carbon monoxide, which you need, and climate scientists who have been shouted down have done studies on that. And so we have another politically correct statement, kind of like when Biden went ahead and apologized, calling an illegal immigrant, and he apologizes for that?
Oh, I know.
How stupid.
He doesn't apologize for muffing the victim's name, Lakin, right?
Oh, that's true. And then also, John Kerry really stands out as someone who is totally out of it, who is these type of progressive socialist communist sympathizers that is up there with Soros and Biden saying, we're going to run this country. And he goes ahead and he says that we would think better about Ukraine if they did better with climate change about Russia. Where does these fools feel they can get away with this? They just think they can.
Yeah. 21 after 8. We will continue the conversation, taking it to the present. Why don't we give your take here just a moment on the proposed charter changes in Jackson County? I spent probably the first hour of my show talking about this, Doc, and this is something I'm big on. I am a huge no, both in the Josephine County charter changes and the Jackson County, three separate ones. And you being a retired professor of business law, I'd love to get your take, too, coming up. That and more,
thank
all right?
You. This is a good story for people to know about.
All right, 21 after 8. This is the Bill Myers Show.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
In 2005, John and Dan acquired Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, from their father. More important than the assets was the cherished family business name. The brothers still work hard every day to honor the name passed down from over a century, symbolizing the values and tradition the Drakes built before them. At Drake's Paint, you get top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain, and the legacy of service and value preserved for generations. Drake's Paint, your only locally owned paint store in Medford and Grants Pass.
The Row Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op. And if you want to go organic, hey, that's great. However,
you see, organic fertilizers are not ready to use by the plant. They have to be worked on by soil bacteria to break them down into a usable form. It has to be in contact with the soil. And better if it's a couple, you know, an inch or two down.
Call the Row Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon and catch the Sunday morning encore at 9 on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Learn more about what we do at woundedwarriorproject.org.
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
23 after 8. Hey, Doc, before we get into maybe the charter deal, is Fonnie Willis, do you think, going to be taken off that case? You know, the Trump case. What is your gut on that?
Boy, that is 50-50, and the reason is the far left is already geared into action. It's difficult to remove a judge from a proceeding. It's a fairly rare occurrence.
And in this case, she's not the judge, though. She's the prosecutor. Does that make a difference?
In this case, they should go ahead and remove her because it was not only the bias of Wills in terms of the prosecutor and their relationship, but also meeting with the chameleon, with Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. So there's a number of facts that they can go ahead and argue. The judge is known for a quote-unquote a clear mind, but I think, unfortunately, it comes down to just how much political pressure in Georgia is put upon that judge in terms of his reappointment as to how he rules. It's really an unfortunate happening here in this United States of where the far left will do anything for its social progressive communist agenda.
All right. Let us shift here to the three measures in Jackson County and the one measure, 17-116, in Josephine County. I look at these pretty simply as no on all four. If you live in Josephine County, you have to vote no on 17-116, which is even more sweeping and insidious than the Jackson County one, if you can believe that. I think Jackson County is going for more incrementalism, hoping to fool the people, I think. But and because in 17-116, in Joe County, Doc, it repeals and replaces the entire charter, not just some amendments there. We're talking about repealing it. It's just astounding. And it's done by mostly Democrats, and it's wanted by mostly Democrats, and they're hoping that mostly everybody goes to sleep on this one and doesn't show out to vote in May so that mostly Democrats can get a mostly Democrat charter change in.
Well, you're being very, in a way, neutral and fair-minded on this,
They wouldn't think so, I don't think, because I'm looking at it as a partisan. I'm a partisan, and I admit that I'm a partisan, all right? I'm honest about being a partisan in this particular case. And as far as I'm concerned, the people pushing the charter changes are doing this under the guise, under the gaslighting of nonpartisanship, but it's all being done for Democratic power, is what it is.
Yeah, and you see, what it is in terms of quote-unquote Democratic power, it is far-left progressive. And it started here in Ashland when you take a look at the pictures that were taken from the back. There's a couple there that have been far-left Ashlanders for decades.
Was Kathy Shaw involved in this?
Terribly so. Oh, absolutely.
Okay. I suspected that when I'm looking at all of these charter changes going on. I figured that the brain of the Democratic Party, I mean, she's good. She's very good. I have to give her, you know, she's very, very smart and very well organized, and also needs to be vanquished in this particular case.
Well, she is. I like her personally, but I differ with her politically. Mm-hmm. And in terms of that, she goes back for decades. I remember meeting her for the first time about 3.5 decades ago over in Guanajuato. I'm trying to recall if she was the mayor then. But in any event, she is brilliant and brutal, and the far left is doing whatever they can to win. Because if you take a look at what they're doing, first of all, as you pointed out in your first hour, what you have is not only the supporters showing up at Medford Library, that was on Tuesday, you also have the arguments. And, of course, it's called Jackson County for All. I mean, right off the bat. And when Jackson County came out and said, hey, this is going to cost about $650,000, Jackson County for All, really, which is a very small niche of far-left people, who will run for those positions, they came in and said, oh, no, it's only $45,000, and we can go ahead and...
Okay, you know, Doc, I don't even care about the money aspect of it, because let's be honest, when has a Democrat ever cared about how much a power grab costs the taxpayer? All right?
Oh, Bill, I agree with you, but for different reasons.
Yeah.
And the reason why I agree with this, it shows, and they have called all this that came up from the county lies.
Uh-huh. As if for some reason, Denise Krause is somehow more skilled at forming budgets than the county administrator, Danny Jordan.
Well, you know, that's being very intellectual about it, and that's an excellent point. But you see, they're just trying to fool the voters. And those people that know what's actually going in the details is one to where they're going after the voter that says, oh, wait a minute, we can save money at the county by voting for this thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the next thing you know is Krause is coming in there, and she's the far lefter that lost the last time. And it just shows what happens when you're in a state that is not like Idaho or Texas.
Well, when it comes right down to it, Doc, I mean, you and I know that we've had some Democrats on the county commission. There have been some people that have been able to get in there, like Dave Gilmore. All right, Dave Gilmore, former Commissioner Dave Gilmore, Dr. Gilmore. He had Peter Sage and various other people. Even Jeff Golden, of course, was a former county commissioner. But they've had trouble getting onto the board because it's a countywide election. And so for this reason, they wish to essentially stack the court, right? This is why they're doing these charter changes in both Jackson and Josephine County. They need to stack the court because they can't or have difficulty winning countywide elections.
Well, that's, you see, my friend, will be the appeal of Democrats to vote for this. But, you know, we all remember where the term Democrat was like a JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was one that was really concerned for the citizens.
But the name Democrat today, now, you mentioned Democrat today in Oregon, and you're frankly a hard left Marxist. There are very few moderates left, if any at all, in the Democratic Party.
Right. That's exactly right.
And I think that's why they've had difficulty winning on the county commission.
Yeah. So what will happen is that the Democrats who are taxpayers who could be socially liberal and maybe fiscally conservative. I mean, there's a lot, as you know better than I do, this dimension. And then as soon as they get that in, Krauss is going ahead with her compatriots and will come in far left, and they'll use the same approach to get their philosophy of Biden, Soros, and Obama here into Southern Oregon.
Now, the other thing you have to remember is that Jackson County is not going as far right now as the Josephine County one. Josephine County does the whole ball of wax, 17-116, including the districts. Remember, five, you vote for five, but they're in districts. That's if that happens. So it's really dangerous for Josephine County right now. But Jackson County, they're trying to fool people. Well, just go to these five commissioners that are voted by everybody right now. But even Dave Gilmore in last week's meeting let the cat out of the bag. And I knew this is where they were going. They want the districts, too. They don't want county commissioners. They want district commissioners. So this way, Ashland gets its county commission. Phoenix Talent gets its county commission. And you have districts battling each other instead of what is best for Jackson and Josephine County as a whole. The current way of three county commissioners voted by all, by everyone, that's truly the Jackson and Josephine County for all, is much more conducive to a strong county rather than having districts fighting each other. What say you?
Oh, I agree, and that's an excellent analytical approach to it. But here's the question I need to ask you, Bill.
Yeah.
When you have gotten, and you are so close to it, what are the likelihood of this passing in Jackson County versus Josephine? What is your reading of the tea leaves?
It is all based on turnout. If we have Republicans that are thinking, well, Donald Trump's going to be the presumptive nominee, I don't need to vote in the primary, then the activists like the Denise Krauses and the Kathy Shaws could win. They could win if there's low turnout. Something this widespread and important should never be on a low turnout election in the first place. But they did this intentionally, and you know that. They want it in a low turnout election, which is why the teachers union always wants the school funding and the school bonds in a low turnout election, too. They always want that.
Absolutely well taken. And you see, the other thing is, as we saw with the changes made to this region with quote-unquote organic farming, with legalization of marijuana, with other different types of far-left loving things, this is headquartered, although they'll never own up to it, from Ashland. This is being run by Ashland, and they're using, as you know, even as well and even better than me, Bill, in terms of one slightly thing. You get 80% of the people here in Ashland who vote, you can make up for losing Medford.
Yep.
And win.
Exactly.
That's what they're doing.
And that's what they're hoping. That's why it's all about turnout. And people of common sense don't have to be a Republican. But, you know, this whole idea. Oh, by the way, I love the other part of one of the bills in which they want to go nonpartisan, because we all know that when Denise Krauss runs for office, we won't have any idea what her point of view is. Okay? Right?
Not publicly. but, you know, we know what it is when we go back and look at her history.
Yeah, but the thing is, going nonpartisan is about hiding it. And it makes it that much more difficult. Look at how difficult it is to vote for judges right now because they're nonpartisan. You have really no idea where these judges are coming from. And then when you talk to them, even on the air, well, I can't tell you anything about that because it might come before me, right?
And then look at the decisions that we've had. I've seen the switch here in Oregon for the last four decades that have happened from the judges that were more balanced in their opinions, and I don't see that now.
And for the Democrats that are concerned, well, we can't vote for everybody in the primary. That's a state issue. Take that up with the state of Oregon. If you want to go to open primaries, all right, fine. You can do that, you know, if you want to do something like that. But, you know, that's controlled by the Democratic Party right now. But they're just trying to upend everything and bring these intrusions in our local county governments in. It just can't happen, and that's why you have to be no on these three charter changes in Jackson County.
Yeah.
Same.
Bill, wait, my friend, until we start seeing the plethora of EV chargers that are in the county, instead of and also street maintenance is something that, that certainly with all the monies that have been going for quote unquote the homeless here in Ashland, I even have some Democrats friends of mine who just say, why can't they fill this pothole? And then I say, do you really want to talk about it? And they said, well, we know.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, filling the pothole, actually making travel easy is not something that the hard left wants. Well, except for maybe getting out of their walled communities. I don't know. All right, so, Doc, this is a simple thing. We don't wish to overthink it, but we'll continue to pick this scab every day on this show until the election, until we vanquish these individuals trying to bring these intrusions in to Jackson and Josephine County. No on the charter changes, period, okay?
That's very helpful for our county and our region.
All right, and we'll break for news, and then let's talk Tina Kotek. And why don't we talk TikTok, too? You good with that? Why don't we do that?
Sure. Wherever you want
All right.
to go, my friend.
More with Dr. Powers coming up. This is The Bill Myers Show.
The delicious options seem endless at Freddy's Diner.
Okay, here she comes. No hesitation now. I'll go with a sandwich.
Are you ready to order?
Yes. I'm going with the pastrami Swiss bacon club, please.
Excellent. Fresh cut fries, battered fries, sweet potato fries, tater tots, onion rings, JoJo's, or a green salad.
Oh, boy. Would you repeat that?
Tune in next time as our intrepid diner grapples with a dipping sauce.
Freddy's Diner on Main in Old Town Eagle Point.
Open 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day for lunch and dinner.
Purchase a new Wayne Dalton garage door and genie opener and get $150 cash back at American Industrial Door. Now through April, choose a Wayne Dalton steel door, including modern, traditional, and carriage house styles, and get $100 cash back. Then pair it with a genie opener for another $50 cash back. American Industrial Door will help you find the perfect mix of style and functionality to replace your old door. See the possibilities at American Industrial Door showrooms on Crater Lake Avenue in Central Point and in Grants Pass on Union Avenue.
News sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Good morning. I'm Natalie Cerna with your NBC5 Morning News Update. Oregon's short legislative session wrapped up Thursday, 3 days before the actual deadline. This 32-day session focused heavily on passing Measure 110 reforms and Governor Tina Kotek's housing package. Southern Jackson County Representative Pam Marsh says, despite the shorter session, they were able to make a lot of changes that people wanted to see. Representative Marsh says one surprising focus of this session was the campaign funding reform bill, which would limit the amount individuals can donate to a political candidate. And today, the Chamber of Medford and Jackson County is holding a forum discussing Measure 110. The event at the Rogue Valley Country Club starts at 11:30, and the panel discussion begins at noon. For more information or to register for the event, you can visit the Chamber's website at medfordchamber.com. And yesterday, Mount Ashland Ski Area had to close due to a high sustained wind. According to the Mountain Report on the Mount Ashland website, winds were reaching up to 30 miles per hour. This resulted in rocking chairs on the ski lift and lowered visibility. Staff say the bright side is that the mountain saw an additional 3 to 7 inches of snow. For updates on closures and conditions, you can go to mtashland.com. That's a look at your morning headlines for NBC5 News. I'm Natalie Cerna. Have a great Monday and a great start to your week.
This hour of The Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks, too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Gold at 21.85. Getting ready to kiss 2,200. Something tells me, Dr. Powers, that Mr. Gold Market is saying that they don't think that federal government's going to get control of the taxes, the deficit, and the currency, huh? Is that kind of the signal being sent,
oh,
you figure?
Absolutely. Interest rates, you know, with all your discussions that you have and have had on this, it's interest rates and it's also inflation worries, and so you have a number of things at play here. What do you think? Good time to buy gold?
Yeah, or maybe if you're thinking about maybe taking some scrap gold. Of course, this is a shameful plug for my local sponsor, though, which is
great people.
But it's okay. They're good people. Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers, Ashland at 1632 Ashland Street, and 6th and G by appointment in downtown Grants Pass. And these people are just honest, helpful, and they will get you the most for your... Well, you know, maybe you have scrap gold and silver and platinum. That's perfectly fine. And you could sell that to them right now, face-to-face, 1632 Ashland Street, like I'd mentioned, and 6th and G. But the thing is, they're one of my longest sponsors, and they have been just stalwart. And when COVID was shutting everybody else down, they didn't bend the knee. These are the kind of people that they are, just good people. And people you need to know. Call them at 482-3715, 482-3715. Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers. I'm big at accumulating gold even as the price rises because the central banks are buying it, Dr. Powers. And when the big money is buying it, they're kind of telling you that something's going on. Now, does this mean that things are collapsing or something? No. But they're buying it for some reason. They don't buy it just because they're looking for a place to park it. Know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Oh, absolutely, because of the fact that it's rather than owning greenbacks or the Wong, it's much better to own gold.
Yeah.
And they've made that decision.
All right.
And
now,
silver.
Yeah. JAustinBrokers.com, by the way, and also FortuneReserve.com on the web. Another place you can do. Okay. All right. Let us shift the gears here into Tina Kotek when it comes to what happened with OSF and where other state money ends up getting doled out. Why don't you give me your take?
Oh yeah, it's absolutely amazing as to the bias that they show. As we're talking about off the air, you know, here we have the Oregon Shakespeare Festival with its far left, and people were turning on it because of its political dialogue before every single play that turned off even Democrats. Kotek goes ahead, and of course she's going ahead and working with her cronies in Salem, awarded $2.56 million, basically over $2.5 million.
So bailing out the Wake failure, or the Woke, rather, failure of the OSF, right? The Woke
That's
failure.
Absolutely right. And then one like the Rogue Valley Symphony Band, Arts, that we all enjoy, and they are very good. They get $5,000. It's also Ashland-based, such as the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and it's a nonprofit musical group that felt people that I knew when I was teaching were very closely with because they believe that this should come to all of us, and this is a really good program. So the biasness that's being shown, homeless over streets, for starters, think about it over, you know, sewer facilities and water and things like this. We're seeing continuing here, and they really feel they can get away with it with the voters because of the liberal media.
Yeah, I guess it's good to be a FOT, a friend of Tina, right? As long as you're an FOT, a friend of Tina, it's okay. You can be as woke and as much of a nonprofit failure as possible and put out plays that nobody wants to see, but she'll bail you out. I think that's what we're looking at here, all
that
right?
That is a great... great one-liner. I remember that one.
Okay,
go ahead.
You go ahead and steal it. Okay. Hey, Doc.
Oh, I will use it.
Hey, Doc. I'm making a big deal about TikTok. I know there was a committee last week, House committee, that passed out in order 50-0 to ban TikTok. In other words, they don't want to ban TikTok, but it would be banning Chinese control of TikTok, and they would wish it to be taken over by an American force or American company of some sort. How important is this? Because I know that, of course, naturally the kids, though, are really upset about this because, you know, there may be millions of influencers that would have to go out and get productive jobs if TikTok were to close. But, but I don't know. Give us the security aspects of it, which is why bipartisan, they're looking to ban foreign ownership of TikTok.
Well, you know, China is, as you've pointed out so well, is such a adversary towards the United States, and we have an administration that is so quote-unquote global that doesn't want to have problems with China. It's an election year. China continues, you know, balloons over the United States, continues with all these different ways of diminishing our ability, which affects all of us. They own everything from 25% of Hilton, you know, all the way to, I didn't know this, they own through a Chinese company, Club Med, a higher percentage. Mm-hmm. Listen, just two, and then we'll go into the rest of TikTok. They own IBM's PC business. Where do we know this? They also own Forbes. And so China is really a major enemy. But now Trump wants to win, and I could be wrong. I really am.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about that because during the Trump administration, he wanted to ban Chinese ownership of TikTok, too. And now this comes out, and former President Trump gets together with hedge fund manager Jeff Yass,
right,
who is a huge GOP donor. And now he comes out last week and says that he doesn't necessarily want to do what they're asking, to get rid of the TikTok Chinese ownership, because he said it would make Facebook more powerful than the other ones. Zucker schmuck is what he said. Is this a Trump flip-flop or just business as usual, you know?
Well,
he called him Zucker schmuck, right? You know, that's what he said,
These are really great words. Trump, you know, of course, his accounts, Facebook and Instagram, were suspended one day after the January 6th Capitol fiasco, mm-hmm, over inflammatory posts about that. So there is no love that he has. But I think in his quest to going ahead and being elected, he's getting caught. And there must be Congress men and women that want to be able to either vote against the ban or to be able to use this politically. So it looks like it's a political football, but I think Trump is getting caught in the middle on this.
Mm.
Probably
because he needs the donors' money, right? That's obvious. You need the money, especially given the amount of money that didn't he have to put up like an $90 million bond the other day because of the defamation trial.
Because, yeah, when you appeal it, you know, on the appeal of the judgment, you have to post bond, and that can be very expensive, you know, in terms of the amount, especially also with the millions of dollars he has to post in terms of the New York City judge that ruled against him in that civil fraud suit. And so there's a real hurt for money in terms of the campaign. And this is all being done by the progressive far left because they want the power so bad. And, you know, the other thing, Bill, a little sidetrack, if I may,
okay,
is the report that Biden, and it's not really Biden, it's through his minions that are working underneath the radar, are trying to go ahead and get ballots to illegals so that they can go ahead where there's no voter ID and put it in for the Soros Biden Obama agenda. This is a real scary time when people have got to stay up like you, stand up like you are,
yeah,
like those in the party in Jackson and Josephine County, and independents that believe that this country really needs better. We have to stand up.
All right, now Going back to President Trump appearing to flip-flop on TikTok, do you think he's going to take some political heat for this?
Yes, especially given the fact that TikTok is certainly not pro-Trump. I don't think this is a good decision by him. That's from my personal anecdotal, you know, without evidence thought, because of the fact that TikTok has been really going after conservatives because they want the Chinese Communist Party wants Biden and Soros and Obama to win.
Well, I don't know why it would be so controversial then just to require American control of the American version of TikTok. I don't know why that would be considered so controversial. You know, Mr. Wonderful, the one Shark Tank guy?
Oh.
You know Mr. Wonderful, right? You know him?
I like him.
Yeah, everybody loves to hate him or loves him, I mean, one way or the other.
He's a great, he wants to run, he's more conservative, he wants to run in Canada for an office.
Yeah, but he had quipped he thought that TikTok be a good business model, he'd buy it, that's what he said. So maybe he'll buy it, I don't know. And so, but it's this, you got to be careful, I think, in this particular situation. I just don't know if trying to defend TikTok right now is a smart political decision.
And you made a very good argument in terms of TikTok as to, you know, having an American type of business, owning it, and in that.
But, of course, you know, if we had an American ownership of TikTok, that would mean the FBI would be involved, right? You know what I'm getting at? All of a sudden,
they're too busy investigating all of the parents at school of board meetings, and also not doing a damn thing with that bio lab above Sacramento that had 1,000 different vials that was Chinese owned.
Yeah, that kind of sank out of sight, didn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, because we have the media that doesn't understand that. You know, they just don't understand that the people need truth, not diatribe that comes down. But anyway, in terms of all these things with the FBI, you know, many of your listeners, I'm sure, would feel this, and I'd like to know how you feel. Bottom line, we used to really support the FBI, but now it's a political arm of Joseph Himmler Biden.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Well, all I can do is point you to my Saturday Facebook post, and I was just feeling a little sarcastic that day. And it was a meme that I saw, which is when you finally meet all of your internet friends, and it had a couple of FBI agents wrestling a guy to the ground. So all of those internet friends that you hadn't met yet, you were posting to the feds, doing a Fed post, that kind of thing. But you know, in all seriousness, though, going back to TikTok, though, how about we just take the Chinese version of TikTok? Because, you know, on TikTok, it is very sanitized. You know, it's not essentially drag queen story hour things, you know, all the time being put out there and stupid stuff. You know, they'll be out there promoting classical culture and this and that and the other. And while, you know, here we have a bunch of grifting influencers. They're trying to get people to buy the latest sports shoe or something. You know, it seems to be where we're taking TikTok.
True. And the insidious part about it is, since we are the sworn enemy, this country, where they don't want the Chinese communists, do not want Trump. They really would want Biden, Soros, Obama.
Yeah.
Because they'll be easier. But it's the fact that although ostensibly, they're using our system against us because we have these wonderful freedoms. But then behind in China and the Great Wall, they're going ahead and listening in to political people, FBI people, you know, whose kids are on TikTok. And
yeah,
also, my friend, going ahead, when you go through the companies that they have, you know, interests in, because they refuse to allow them to American companies to operate in China without having a joint venture partner, they're then going ahead and stealing the technology.
Yeah, it's right there. It's an open, you know, it's an open pipeline to the Chinese communists. That's all. Having ownership by Americans may not completely solve the problem, but it's certainly better than the status quo.
True enough.
Yeah, we'll see where they go with this. 856, we'll grab a quick call. Hi, you're with Dr. Powers. Who's this? Good morning.
Morning, Bill. Jeff and Selma.
Hello, Jeff. What are you thinking?
Well, you just said it. So regardless of who owns TikTok, all the communications and the software is in place. So, okay, you go ahead and own it, whoever you are, Mr. Shark Tank guy, and we'll just sit here and monitor everything anyway.
Wait, what do you think about that, Doc, what Jeff had to say?
It's an excellent argument, which is actually the concern that I have because of the inroads that the Chinese communists have done, and they have learned to rely, and this is a good point, Jeff, because they have really learned to rely in terms of the New York Times and the Chronicle as to being covered. Very quickly, when I go through and do some shopping for Judy and I, I'll just take a look at the newsstand and just read the headlines of the Times and the Chronicle and things like this and do a scan. It's unbelievable how much they're supporting, the Chinese communists. Excellent point, Bill. How do you feel?
Well, I would agree, too. I think we're all in agreement here as we wrap the where past meets present, because I'm turning into a pumpkin next year. All right.
So. Well, I turned into that when I had to get up an hour sooner than I did.
Oh, I know. I think we all are a little logy, as it were. Hey, we'll talk a couple of weeks from now. All right. Thank you, Doc. 8:57 and change. This is KMED and KCMD.
Changing weather norms means changes to water quality. Be sure your drinking water is safe. The highs and lows of water levels, increasing cases of contamination, and land use changes can all impact your water quality.